If you have your Bibles, our call to worship, Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted in the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Lord, I pray that you will not only penetrate our minds today, but penetrate our hearts as we look into your word, as we sing worship songs and give tithes and offerings, as we celebrate your death and resurrection at the table. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us, show us who you are, and that you love us enough to die for us. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 6. We're going to be working on verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 today. Romans 6, starting with verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, for the death he died to sin once for all. Remember, Jesus said at the cross, on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. He died for sin once for all. He doesn't have to do it again. But that life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I have a book of illustrations, and it's the author is Nelson. It's Nelson's book of illustrations. I have a couple paragraphs here, a story that I'd like to read with for you. Roger Rose faced deep sorrow as a child. His younger brother was fatally injured in a tragic accident. A dirt road ran alongside their home, and only on rare occasion did an automobile be seen on it. But one day, as his brother was crossing on his bicycle, a car came roaring over the nearby hill, and he was run over and killed. Roger said later, when my father picked up the mangled, twisted bike, I heard him sob aloud for the first time in my life. He carried it to the barn and placed it in a spot we seldom use. Father's terrible sorrow eased with the passing of time, but for many years, whenever he saw that bike, tears began streaming down his face. Since then, I have often prayed. Listen to his prayer. Lord, keep the memory of your death fresh to me. Every time I partake of your memorial supper, may my heart be stirred as if it occurred only yesterday. Never let the communion service become a mere formality, but always a tender and touching experience. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this message, and I thank you for these words. And I pray that as I prayed before, that your word will penetrate not only our minds, but our hearts as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a similar story when I was a freshman in high school. My two brothers and I were walking home on a Friday night after a football game. We lived about a mile away from the school, and so we were walking home, and these two kids passed us on their bicycles, friends of ours, about a year or two younger than we were, and they passed us on their bicycles. Now, I don't remember much about that game that night or much about anything else except for what happened minutes after we saw them pass us. About two blocks after they passed us, there was a drunk driver that pinned the kids between a parked car and them. You don't forget about those things very quickly, because it's tragic and it's horrible. And yet, what this guy here read about, Roger Rose, what he prayed, really, when I read this, I'm like, I got to share that with everybody. We need to remember what Jesus did for us. Like it happened yesterday. Jesus forgives us. My hope for you today is not only that you will know Him and know for certain that you know Him, and not to put the scare of hell in you, but one of these days we are all going to slip from this earth, and it might be a tragic accident, and it might be a natural cause. But one of these days we will all face God in eternity. But today, more importantly, I want you to understand and realize that we need to honor God every day and every minute. Like He had died yesterday, we need to remember Him each and every day. Romans 6, verse 8, if you have your Bibles open. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. This is another if-then statement. If you what? Died with Him, then you get to live with Him. If you have identified yourself with Him, if you have denied yourself and accepted His death, it's kind of like an identification card. If you identify yourself with Jesus, then you get to live with Him. I have three identification cards with me today. The first one is my birth certificate. It proves that I was born. In Michigan, that's what they look like. At least it did back then. It might be different now. But it proves that I belonged and that I was born and at a specific date and a specific hour. The next identification card I have is my driver's license, even though it's out of, it needs to get changed because my address has changed. But it proves that I live in Winter, South Dakota. It's got my picture on it to prove that I am who I am, right? The other piece of identification I have is my passport. It's also got my picture in there. What does this prove? What? That I belong in the United States. This is where I'm from. So all three of these pieces of identification are very personal. They all explain that I belong to somebody or someplace. So if you can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you have identified yourself with Christ in His death, then you belong in heaven. With Him, eternally. That's good news. So if you identify yourself with Christ, I hope you do. I hope every one of you do. Get to spend eternity with Him. Verse 9, Romans 6, 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never, and I might say never, to die again. Death no longer has master over Him. This is the best news ever. Jesus died once. He never has to die again. We only need to accept that gift. Christy's going to play a song for us and put the words on the screen. It's entitled, Jesus Conquered the Grave. And if He hadn't conquered the grave, we'd have to die a second time, because the penalty for sin is death. Is death.
Heroes and conquered the grave. Jesus Christ.
and he conquered the grave. So if you identify with Christ, then you get to spend eternity with him. If then. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 22. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, and by a man all came the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam in Adam all died, so also in Christ all will be made alive. All of us someday are going to get to face judgment on Judgment Day. And all the believers are going to get caught up to heaven, and all the unbelievers are going to get caught up, and Jesus is going to judge the entire world, and he's going to put all the sheep, all the believers on one side, and he's going to put all the goats on one side, the non-believers. That's the way Scripture describes us. Are you ready for Judgment Day? Do you know Jesus? Have you put him first in your life? Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin for those who eagerly await him. I hope that you are waiting for him. Waiting for him. Romans 6, 10 through 11. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I often wonder about those who have professed to know Jesus, but there's no fruit in their life. Or maybe they've at one time professed Jesus, but are kind of wandering down a different path. Have you ever wondered about those? What does Scripture say about them? Well, I'm going to read for you the definition of the parable that Jesus said about the sower. Do you remember that parable? Jesus explains there's a farmer, and he reaches into his basket and he's broadcasting seed. And the seed falls on different kinds of soil. Some of it falls on a path and the birds come and eat it up. And others, the seed falls on the rocky soil and there isn't much soil, so the roots are shallow. Another seed falls on thistles and weeds, and the weeds choke it out. But some of that seed falls on good soil, soil that's been cultivated, and it grows and it produces fruit. And the meaning of that parable in Matthew 13, 18 through 23, it says, "Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one in whom the seed was sown by the roadside." So what's the seed? The word of God being sown into the hearts of men. "The one in whom the seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root of him in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately falls away. And when the one on whom seed is sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears God's word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed is sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, the one who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here at First Baptist Church, we preach God's word, and it goes out. Are you the kind of person who hears God's word but don't really understand it, so Satan comes and grabs the word from you? Or are you the kind of person who have accepted God's word with joy, but you haven't really studied God's word? and your roots are shallow. And so when difficult times come, you get burnt up. Or have you allowed the pleasures of life and the deceitfulness of wealth take control of your destiny? Or are you kind of the person who have taken God's word and let it grow, and you fertilized it and cultivated it in your life, and there's fruit? There's fruit in your life. What kind of person are you? I hope that you're the kind of person that have accepted God's word and cultivated it and produced fruit in your life. God's word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12-13, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as for the division of the soul and spirit, with both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have whom we do. So maybe the question today is, have you surrendered your life to God? And if you have given him everything, if you identified with him, if you have, you get to spend eternity with him forever and ever. Amen. Kind of thought with myself on what should be our benediction today. So you're going to get both of my decisions. Number one is call to worship in Psalm 1:1-3. And it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. And then Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. In other words, you need to be pleasing to God. Be pleasing to him. Amen. Have a good week.